Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
Five star. It's the
joint.
Crab Feast for that ass.
It's time to rearrange.
Get it, Jay Larson Comedy. Good to touch your pitch. Sickle good to see your face. Good to be here with you on a Tuesday.
You hear that, Sickle?
I hear it, man.
You know what it is?
Sounds like turkey.
It's them turkeys, baby. Woo! Thanksgiving around the corner, Feast of Nation. What are you thankful for? Jay Larson Comedy here, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on social media. I'm thankful for you, Sickle, and I'm thankful for our fans, man. I'm thankful for, I know we've said this before, but literally, no matter how bad our days are, when we come to the office, we come to the studio, and we record an episode of this podcast, it makes me feel a whole different person.
I just said it to a friend, a mutual friend of ours tonight who's going through a tough time that, you know, he's like, what do you do? And I go, I got to tell you, like, having comedy in my life is built-in therapy. Like, I go do a show and have a great time. I'm already, you know, in a good mood. I said, with podcasting, we do a few times a week. Like, I never leave there in a bad mood, ever. Yeah. I feel fantastic.
It changes. So, I mean, it's a lot.
I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for our healthy families. I'm grateful for our podcast, our fans, everything. It's a great year. 2017 was a great year. 2016, not so good. Player.
I hear it, son.
Ebbs and flows, player.
Let's see. What's coming up? West Side Comedy Theater this weekend, Saturday night, the 25th. Head on over there. It's in Santa Monica. It's a great spot to see comedy if you've ever been there.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I love performing over there. It's one of my favorites. And tonight, I'm at Comedy Living Room at the Improv, which will be fun. You know how much we love those guys. And we had a blast out there in Houston, man. So yeah. Much fun to be out there and see Feasters out in the Panhandle State. it was so much fun, and everyone I saw up in Oregon State, if any of those people are now listening, thank you so much. Sickle?
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. These Movember stashes are moving right along, too. You know, I'll say this. I looked up a little further into Movember. I didn't realize it went beyond prostate cancer. It's also testicular cancer. It's just
anything
men's
that's
health.
Like, yes,
didn't
it's
realize
men's health
it went
awareness.
Deeper.
Yeah.
Men's health awareness. So we're aware, our upper lips are aware. And
my wife is well aware.
Yeah,
too.
Right. And as Jay said, thank you to all the Feasters we met down in Houston coming out the show. You guys are great. You guys have hit us up too about the Laughable app. If you don't know, it's an iPhone app called Laughable. You can subscribe directly to comedians and stay current on their appearances as a host or a guest. So it's a great way to find more episodes with your favorite comics. Get it at laughable.com. Download, you iPhone users. And for any and all Crab Feast related information, the crabfeast.com is your one-stop shop for that. Speaking of shop, do your Christmas shopping now. Get it done now. Get out there, get it done, so you don't have to worry about it late. Premium apps are there on the site as well, and make sure you merch is there as well. Make great Christmas gifts. And make sure you follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter.
Speaking of a perfect time to buy a gift, wonderbleed.com is a great place to go. We've been talking about these guys for a long time. Basically, Wonderbleed offers a one-of-a-kind personalized book that can be made by you in minutes for a child, a niece, a godson, a goddaughter, anybody you want. So I've had one made for Reed, and we read it all the time. And the beautiful thing about it is now that we've read it a couple times, and it's about it's a space travel where he's going through with this Martian, and they're going around, and in the sky as Reed's name is written, and then Reed's name after
it's fantastic.
After he sees it, then it pops out throughout the book. But it's now it's like beyond the point where he's like excited and waiting for it to just see it, and it's the coolest thing because. I mean, I know this isn't the point of it to like make it like a teaching tool of writing or knowing how to spell, but he knows his name, but it's just so cool to see his face light up when we're like, I pull out books and I'm like, I'll grab six books and one of them will be that book and that's the one he's like, oh yeah, and we save that for last. You know, like I always say, which one do you want to read first? And he'll pick and then it's down to five, which one, then four, then when we get to the last one, it's always that last one.
Well, I want to add to your teaching thing because it did help Stella spell her name. Like we inventory, I go, all right, we got an S from what? The squid. We got a T from what? The troll. E from what? Elephant. And we go through. So now I've got this little like board at home with magnet letters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said, if you pull the letters of your name out and you put it on that board and you spell it correctly, I'll give you a chocolate chip cookie. She threw all of them on the ground, grabbed every single one of them, and spelled her name out from that book.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And here's the deal. They break it down into different categories. The Lost My Name books are 0 to 8 years. Each child's adventure is based on the letters of their name, making every story unique to the child. That's the one that I have for Reed. My Golden Ticket books, 5 to 12-year-olds, in collaboration with Ronald Dahl, a new personalized book fresh from Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Now any child can be Charlie. Personalization includes your own chocolate bar with ingredients inspired by letters of your name found in never-before-explored rooms of the Chocolate Factory. My Christmas Snowflake, 2 to 8 years, a charmingly personalized holiday story the whole family will adore and read every Christmas. I mean, it's really cool that it's not just one thing you can do. Here's what you got to do. Go to www.wonderbly.com. That's WONDERBLY.com. And then enter your little one's name or, you know, whoever the special person in your life that you want to put in for full preview of their story. So you can put it in and then boom, it's right there. Enter code CRABFEAST at checkout to get 15% off your order. You're buying gifts this holiday season. Make this one of them and you're getting 15% off. Visit www.wonderbly.com today.
If you're in need of great talent for your business, but you're short on time, you do not have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools. Do you even know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Do you, Jay Larson Comedy?
I sure do.
We both sure do. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job.
ZipRecruiter, get out of here!
With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. You can even get a head start on the interview process by adding screening questions to your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates. So you don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find the perfect fit. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day.
Where do you get an 80% return rate?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
And the easy-to-use ZipRecruiter dashboard lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish all in one place. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Find out today what ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. All right, all you got to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/crab, put it up there. It's free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab. 100% free, guys. ZipRecruiter.com/crab.
I'll tell you what's 100% free, son.
This podcast every Tuesday.
And we're excited to have this next guest back on. We've had her on before. We'd love her to death. We've been trying hard to get her back on because she's got a hectic schedule. But we're excited to have her back. So sit back, relax, and please welcome back to the Crab Feast.
Back to the Crab Feast.
Keystone Garrett Kilgore!
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast.
Thank you.
Oh.
Keystone.
We love it when you clap for yourself. No, we really do.
It's fun times.
Yeah, I mean, you should. It's exciting. It's you're full of energy. And it's very great to have you here. We've been trying to get you back for a little while, but yeah. you are
We've been on the road.
I mean, don't want to say you, but all. I mean, you've changed. You've changed.
I'm definitely on a major power trip right now, for sure.
Jim's had me replaced on the show today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I like when you pull those strings.
I didn't like his attitude when he first came in.
Somebody's got to put him in check.
Because you scared the living shit out of me when I walked in the door here tonight.
I never even saw the video. I mean, that one jolted me a little bit.
I'll post it.
It was loud.
Rightfully so. He does that shit. He's done it before where when we used to do it at my apartment way back when, he would get a key and come in, and I'd be coming in like trying to run just to go to the bathroom. He would dive out from like behind a wall in my home. I'm like, what the fuck?
I love that shit.
But it never did anything. He's like, ah, damn.
There were a couple times you got startled.
There was one where I was, because I thought I was going to pee myself. That's what was more startling. I was doing that like antelope gallop, just trying to make it, you know, and then he came out of nowhere.
It's like a video game, right? Yeah. At the last worst moment, there's a challenge.
If I had known you were going to pee, like, I would have just like tried to tackle you and hold you down. Made you pee yourself.
That would have definitely happened.
That would have been kind of fun.
That's a good video. That'd go viral.
Yeah, it sure would.
Well, we have a lot to talk to you about.
Yes.
But before we do, will you please promote whatever you'd like to promote? Plug it away, girl.
I'm just basically on Twitter. At Karen Kilgariff, 1L, 1R, 2Fs.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It's K-I-L-G-A-R-I-F-F as in Frank. Did I tell you guys that story of that's how I've always heard my parents like explain it on the phone, because they always think it's two S's. And so I started saying that. And then one time I got a piece of mail that was addressed to Karen Kilgariff as in Frank. And
Shut up.
It was like that long, my name.
That's funny.
Isn't that the best?
That should be your album.
Say it again.
Karen Kilgariff.
Karen Kilgariff as in Frank.
Karen Kilgariff as in Frank. That's amazing.
And I like laughed about it and then fucking threw it away.
Oh,
I didn't even keep it.
Oh,
but this was before the internet.
This was before everyone
picked or didn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Man,
it's funny because one thing my mom always did is I have made a vow that I'll never dictate over the phone what the letters of something are. Like, L is in Larry. I won't do it.
Because your mom did it?
No, just because, I mean, I hear my wife do it all the time because she like works in business and needs to get, you know, I'm just like, hey man, when am I ever on a business call where I got to get people to figure shit out? And if it's like a telemarketer, I'll just be like, yeah, man, Lars, nope. And I'm never going to spell it out. But the one thing my mom would always do that I always do because she did it was if you were giving our phone number, a zero was always a zero, not an O.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like 8205, not 8205. Whenever people say, oh, I'm like, it's unintelligent, mom. I don't know why.
You know what? I like to mix it up. I like to be like 605-8026. I do. I mix it up all the time.
Who is this guy? Where's he from?
Wait.
Ahead. Sorry, I was just going to say, George and I talked for a long time one time about our moms talking on the phone, like the little, almost like they had scripts like a telemarketer, but it was the way they talked on the phone. So my mom would always be like, at the end of every call, you knew she was about to hang up because she'd go, all righty.
That's
okay. Yeah. Very good. Bye-bye.
That's me.
It was the same every time.
Ah, to like friends.
I'm gonna get out. Yep. I always throw
very
it all
good.
Right too. I don't get it very
bye-bye.
Good. Bye-bye. Say it again. Say her.
All right. Okay. Very good. Bye-bye.
My mom is, the way my mom gets off with me is if I'm like, all right, Ma, I got to get going. She'll say one more thing like, okay, you know, I have a pot roast on. I'm going to let you go. She always has to be the one to let go.
My sister's the same way.
So weird.
Yes. It's there. It's a control issue.
Yeah.
For sure.
I feel like my mom, she just has to be the one to like say goodbye.
Also, my sister always thinks of the best thing to say. Like, I'll be like, look, I'm not kidding. I have to go back into wherever I am or something. And she'll go, oh, wait, did I tell you about Adrian's thing or whatever? Like, there's always the one piece of gossip that has to get said right that second.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Usually with my mom, it's something ridiculous. Like, do you know who I ran into today at the grocery store? And I'm like, no. And she's like, do you remember Erin Francis? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, I saw her mom. And I go, yeah. And she's like, she was very intrigued to hear what you were up to. And I'm like, I don't care, Ma. I haven't talked to Erin in 20 years.
Very good. Bye-bye.
Well, here's your chance to close the gap.
Erin! Oh, close the gap. close the gap.
What love is... will build a bridge.
Shut that 20-year gap now, man. Let's go. In this age of social media. Oh, my God. I wanted to ask you, so...
We also, should we real quick, I mean, obviously your podcast, yeah, do you just not even promote it anymore?
Oh, sorry.
That's where you're at?
So. I was thinking like promotion, like am I doing a set somewhere, which I'm not. So
you're on tour,
I wasn't
though.
Even thinking about that. But yes, my podcast is My Favorite Murder, and we are on tour now. We just came back from Texas, which was super fun.
Where were you guys?
Dallas and Houston.
Cool.
It was great. And then we are going to... St. Louis and Kansas City, the weekend of December 8th.
Right on. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So that'll be in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
You have been on before.
Yes.
We've had some good ghost stories. We really have. I think Joe Coy had a great one.
These are top. Joe Coy and Karen.
Mine's
hands
pretty,
down.
Mine's pretty good. I'm top five. Mine's pretty good. But
which one? The one that nothing ever happened?
You the just one got that spooked? Scared you so bad you didn't take the gig. That one.
I just. Because it would be in my head, and I know it would be.
Wait,
and
that's the one.
I had painted a
that's
picture.
The one.
Nothing even happened. He got scared. And I don't need to drive 5 hours for $300 to get scared in a fucking old inn where candles go out. That's all. It wasn't a great ghost story.
He hates it. But here's the truth.
Oh, God. Get over
the
it.
The truth is, I came back. I told him that story. They offered him the gig. He refused it. I said, well, why? He said, well, because that story you told.
Well, because I wasn't going to be able to go with my wife. You know what I mean? So it'd just be me, and I do not need to be alone in some place that already in my head I'm freaking out because...
A candle went out?
He claimed some vibe came over him. He was chilly.
In addition to what happened to me, once I told the lady that owned the place, she opened up and was like, I don't offer this up, but since you're telling me, here are all the other stories I can tell you. And I was just like... Did that fucking show. We got back in there, got the baby, got my stepson. I was like, we're getting the fuck out. Goodbye. We drove back in. Yup.
Yeah.
Right. No and way. I've had a similar experience in a hotel I felt I was in the woman who killed herself. The room was named after her. Mm-mm. And then I found out before I went to bed all the shit that she had done around the place and like people hearing screaming. And then I had to sleep in the room. But two, it still does not compare to your story
Yours
or Joe Coy's.
Yours is top. Yeah.
Those are the top.
I Absolutely. Have to listen to Joe Coy's. Now I'm excited.
Yeah, that one's full. I mean, a kid has a physical seizure because he gets possessed by the ghost in the place.
Shit.
Yeah. And Joe bounced out of there and like was like, nah, we're out. The seizures are not.
He left a child seizing on the floor.
So, no, they left a kid. Yeah, that was his cousin.
But your story, would you mind? I want you to, there's a reason you have a follow-up to it. There's a reason I asked you if you wouldn't mind recapping, because it's so good.
Yeah, if you could recapping it, I'll, that would
recap.
Here's the recapping.
That's a new term.
Starring Marky Mark Wahlberg. I'll just say
it's a good
this
movie
now.
Review show.
the recapping. That's your next podcast.
I'm writing it down.
It's not the greatest update. Like, I wanted the update when I texted her. I actually emailed her after I did the show with you guys and was like, what do you remember? Da, da, da. And she never sent she never replied to the email. So I was like, oh no, is she mad at me? But then when I was texting with you today, I texted her immediately and then she wrote right back. So
she needed a while to open up.
She didn't want to reapproach it. It was a difficult time in our lives with all the Keystone and whatnot. But basically the recap of it is, it was...
Where were you guys staying again?
Sacramento.
I just remember, I just see a bungalow. House, right? That's all I see is a bungalow and a front room with a door next to it. That's what I see in my head.
Yeah, that's
and the
it.
Bathroom and a door comes through your bedroom.
Yes, there's a... it's this little house that I got flunked out of college and got cut off by my parents. We're living in this house. I just signed on with three other girls to live in this house and pay rent that I then could not pay.
Signed on.
Signed on.
I'll do it, guys.
Guys, I'll be your roommate. Where's the paperwork? And we were all crazy drunks that were like so thrilled to just be, you know, out of our dumb small hometown. So there was lots of drinking and lots of weird stuff happened in the house, but we didn't really notice. So like somebody would wake up the next morning who had fallen asleep in the living room and then complain about somebody doing the dishes in the middle of the night.
You said several people had said that, right?
Yes.
That's what made you guys be like, wait a second.
It was a constant, and I actually, Patty, in my text with her.
But those were all, this is important too, those were all people that spent the night that said that they didn't know each other. So it's not like they could know that, hey, go over there and fuck with them and say you woke up at 4 a.m. Like, that's something Jay would set up.
Right. No.
If we all knew each other.
None of the, yeah, they weren't those kind of people. It was like a passing comment of like, hey, this, you know, like, it was kind of rude of you to do the dishes at 3 a.m.
And each one of you was probably so plastered the night before, like, was I doing dishes?
I know. The dishes didn't get done because that was like, our kitchen was disgusting. So I always was suspicious about it. But then we just also never put any together. So it was essentially one night I had this nightmare that there was a woman and her daughter on our front porch. The daughter had braids. It seemed like it was the 50s or the 40s. And
I don't like this
story. As I walked out of my bedroom, so it was very realistic. I walked out of my bedroom, heard these people, and I looked through the window at the front door of our house, and I heard the mother say to the daughter, if we just wait right here, he might go away.
Ah, I can't even.
Yeah,
I know. I don't like this.
So that was the dream I had. Then I woke up right at that part when she said that, and it was, I woke up with like a start, and I felt really like it was a, it didn't make sense how scared I was compared to what was happening in the dream, because it wasn't like a classic nightmare. So it didn't make sense.
But I think the worst nightmares are the ones that are taking place in the exact spot that you are.
Yes.
You know?
Because you kind of aren't sure.
If it's real, it's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when I went out into the front room, Patty Riley, who was one of my roommates, and we went to high school together. I'd known her for a long time. She had been sleeping in a papasan chair in the front room because she had the attic room, which in Sacramento in the summertime was like literally 800 degrees. Like, we couldn't go up there. So she had to sleep in the front room all the time.
Making pizzas up there?
Yeah, seriously, just like a slow bake, some kind of a crock pot situation. So when I opened the door to my bedroom, that noise startled her awake, and she was like, and did the nightmare noise, kind of like how I did. So she goes, oh, I just had the worst dream. And I go, was there a little girl with braids in it? And then she burst into tears and was like, why did you say that?
I mean,
I can't even deal, man.
So then basically skip to everyone leaves for the weekend and I'm staying in the house by myself and don't put together that creepy things are happening. And I'm asleep one night and I also, I don't think I stressed this part enough, which I don't think people believe. And there were a couple people that were like, yeah, that what you had was like, what do they call it? Sleep paralysis.
That's what he tries to pass off on me. Sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis. But I know what sleep paralysis is because it feels much cloudier and much dreamier than what I experienced.
Absolutely.
It was like what I experienced was...
You don't know what you feel.
I know what I felt. And what she's describing is exactly what I felt.
Yeah, I've had sleep paralysis too.
There you go.
And then someone left the AC on. I had a nightmare. I don't know.
But like in my description, you know, it was like I was laying on the bed and I was woken up because I heard footsteps in the house. So I was immediately scared. I wasn't paralyzed.
You're by yourself.
I'm by myself. My back is to the room. I'm facing the wall.
It's 10 o'clock at night. What time is
it? It's middle of the night. It's probably 2 or 3 in the morning.
Just scarier after
that's
midnight.
The worst.
Scarier. The witching hour is 3 a.m.
Is it 3?
That's what they say. Or 3 or 3:30 or something. But so basically I hear footsteps. And at first I'm like, that's not footsteps. It's this weird house and it's just settling. And then I hear it more. And then
it's settling. It's built in the fucking 50s. This shit you'll lie to yourself about.
It's that new foundation they put in 70 years ago.
It takes like 90 years for a house to settle completely.
Completely.
Settle right down into ghost territory. So the bathroom between my room, it was like there was a back hall with the back bedroom. Then there was this bathroom with one door on one side and another door on the other, and the second door connected to my room. Mm-hmm. So I hear footsteps down the back hall. I hear the one door open. I hear footsteps across the linoleum.
And you're staying in bed. You're not up. You're not.
No. I can't believe that I'm hearing what I'm hearing. And I keep telling myself it's not what you think. And then I'm just hearing it more and more and more.
It's restless tonight.
It's settling on 2 human feet. So I hear footsteps. Like when the bathroom door opened, the first bathroom door opened, because it was such a distinct sound. It was like I would get woken up by my roommates in the morning with that same sound where it was an old door. It was a wooden door and it would go like hong, 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 like that when you'd open it because it's, I think, like the springs.
It would stick a little?
Yeah, it would stick and then open really hard. And yeah. There was like some spring element somewhere in it where you could hear that part. So like once that happened, I was
I
like.
I liked that the ghost even had a little difficulty getting it.
That damn door was sticking before he fucking beat the shit out of
40 years ago.
That humidity. Push it down and then open it.
He's lazy fucks and get that door fixed.
So I hear the door on the one side and I hear the footsteps across linoleum, which is sounds very different than footsteps down the
hallway. So you hear the wood, then the thing, the door, then the, okay. The
visually, you know exactly where this person or whatever is.
Yes.
Yes.
And then I hear my door open. Then I hear footsteps on the carpet in my room.
I mean, that would just... And you're just... You've completely frozen there. You're not going
to
get up?
Yes. I'm now preparing to be stabbed in the back, essentially.
Yeah, I remember you saying you were ready to die.
But. I was like, well, this sucks, but also, you know, whatever. It's going to happen to everybody at some point.
Get blood all over my Keystone bed sheets, goddamn.
If I could just have one more beer before I die.
They send you like a proof of purchase or something.
Set away, like remember Marlboro Miles?
Yeah,
Keystone Miles over.
Like Keystone kilometers, curtains, man.
Curtains, bedspreads, a big stuffed Keystone pillow. Yep. My whole room.
Oh my God.
So there's
Keystone kilometers.
The weight on the bed. Someone sits on the bed, and I tip backwards toward the weight. And then arms go around around me and hug me until I can't breathe. And then right when I think, like, I'm going to start choking to death, it stops. And I have to call my sister at 3 a.m. and make her come and get me.
How far away was she?
She was across town, but, like, Sacramento's just like L.A. where it's crazy spread out. So mm-hmm. she was, like...
But that time of night, she could zip there.
Probably. Yes, for sure. But she was probably 5 miles away.
And where did you stay, like, under the covers till she got to the door or something?
I can't remember. I mean, I know all the lights were on. I know
you
that.
Shot
I mean,
up it wouldn't and fucking turn all matter the lights to me. On.
Yeah.
I would be like, now the ghost is outside watching and knowing. I would be fucking, I don't know where I would go.
It was so crazy. And then the thing we talked about, which is like when you're in your early 20s and you're so self-involved and narcissistic, like I just never thought about like anything outside of my own dumb bullshit. So like we never talked about the shared dream.
You mean you and Patty?
Patty and I never talked about that again.
My question before to you was you both were having the same dream, obviously, but you woke up however long it took for you to get from that bed to that door. You or to tell her that or whatever, there's a couple of minutes.
No, I would say max 30 seconds, okay. If not shorter.
So your dream wakes up when you hear her say, if we stay here, what is it?
If we stay here, maybe he'll go leave. Away.
Boom, you wake up. But she's got 30 more seconds of that same dream.
So her response to that, that's what I said to her. First I said.
What if she's like, a man walked through the bathroom into your room and stabbed the woman.
After he gave her a nice
hug. I was just saying, what if he was just a weirdo and he's like, weird guy, just had a t-shirt said I love hugs. He's coming to
I
your
love
house.
The tightest possible physical hugs. So I wrote, the first thing she wrote was, because I said, do you remember this? Because we've never talked about it since.
I can't even get over that you guys didn't sit and talk about that for days.
One of the things was...
She was crying.
There was definitely... Crying. There was also a lot of weird fighting. It was, you know, like girls' politics in that house. So there were 4 insane girls in that house. So there was always something like, you know...
Sounds like it needed a hug.
Maybe it's what I was asking for deep down. But like it was the kind of thing where I feel like anything that seemed like a problem, I had no capacity to deal with. I already had so many that it was like, oh, I can't have a haunted house right now. I have all these other things.
I got
of like
shit going
I don't have rent this month, right. So I can't do this. And we were always, I feel like we were just always running from every problem we had and just trying to get to like, to, you know, happy hour essentially. So I wrote it to her and said, do you remember this? And she wrote, of course, that was effing creepy. And then she said, I do not believe in ghosts, but something super weird was going on in that house. And then I explained to her the theory that she was asleep longer, so she may have had more of that dream. And her response was, how do we know I was dreaming longer? and then I just basically said, because you were asleep when I opened my door. And I said, my dream ended when the mom said, let's wait here and see if the man goes away. And she said, mine did too. That's the last part I remember. So that's the other weird thing, is it was the same exact dream.
Yeah, exact.
Yeah. She also said, do you remember when we discovered that creepy crawl space door to the attic in my fucking closet? Goodbye, never sleeping again.
I mean,
And I don't remember this.
You don't?
But we found... I said, I don't remember that. She said, we could always hear dishes clinking from the other room. You had that...
Dishes.
You had that... And we weren't doing dishes. You had that presence hug you. And...
Presence. So sweet.
And she said, and a third of the height of the closet wall... was an opening to a crawl space just big enough for that chick from The Ring to crawl out. Just so hilarious. Also, it was on here last time I said it was 43rd in Folsom, but it was 34th in Folsom.
34th in Folsom.
So maybe that will help if anybody was looking.
I mean, we should probably go and find out who go to the door and say, hey, can we record a podcast here? And have you seen any ghosts?
I don't remember asking you, but maybe I did, but the hug, did you feel like it was an evil thing?
Yes.
But did you think, I don't know, I don't even know what to ask about
it. It was
that.
Bad. It was a person coming to kill me, for sure.
That's.
Yeah. Because it wasn't, I don't know. I feel like ghosts do other things. Like if they're trying to scare you or get you to move out of the house or something. But it was so frightening and clear.
How long do you think that hug lasted?
You know, 8 seconds.
Ah, that's long. 3 seconds is long as fuck.
It was like, because I felt the arm go under me. It was really clear. I heard it go under me. And I was just like, no way.
Was there a moment where you tried to get away and you couldn't, or right away you could?
No, I couldn't, because I was weirdly trapped with the way I was laying. It was like one of those things, like, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're kind of like, am I awake? What's going on? You're kind of like sitting there for a second. It was like that, where then I was like, the reason I woke up is because someone's walking in this house. So immediately I go from waking up of like trying to get oriented to then being like shittingly scared.
Yeah, man.
It's the only way to explain it.
So your back is, at any point of that hug, did you think it was a real person, or did you, once the hug happened, you realize it was a ghost or an apparition or a, what did your friend, what did you say it was? She said your
presence.
Presence. Yeah.
The presence.
Because I mean, if you're not watching and then all of a sudden you feel this thing, you could have been like, holy fuck, this is.
Yes. I thought it was real until it just
dissolved into nothing.
Yeah. And it wasn't like slow. It was suddenly, it was almost like, and this is the part where I understand people go, yes, that's sleep paralysis and that's what's happening.
It's not
because it was this thing where like the hug where I was like like, and making a noise and, you know, like thinking I was being crushed. And then
that's a great word, crushed. That's, yeah, how I felt. I was wide awake. I was trying to get Donna. I was trying to take my arm and throw it over to just nudge anything to wake her up. And I couldn't get nothing.
Yes.
Nothing. But my neck, I could move my neck. I could barely talk. I mean, whatever, every noise I was trying to make wouldn't come out. And the weight just kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And I was like, holy shit.
It's so scary.
Yeah, it's scary. And well, then I can't remember the
right, that's almost as scary as Karen.
That moment is.
That sleep paralysis.
I'll tell you what, must have been
the fucking.
Somebody passed on a weekend of an arrowhead. Must have
been the chicken fingers you had that night.
Yeah, I think. I wasn't thinking that it could be a ghost at that moment, because I honestly was immediately like, someone has broken into the house.
And it's definitely the fucking guy that lady and that girl were.
I mean, it must. I just don't understand what else it could be.
What else could it be?
And I would love to know what fucking happened in that house. It would be amazing. And it made me happy because I thought for a little while there's a possibility when I texted Patty that she'd be like, oh, I don't really remember. Like that kind of thing where I'm like, maybe I was just a crazy drunk and I don't really know what I'm talking about. Right. Always a possibility.
This might be an episode of your podcast if you find out what went down in that
in
house.
That house.
Oh, could you imagine?
Oh,
you should look it up.
Gold.
It's probably on microfiche at a library somewhere.
For
it's
real. Yeah.
It's a library.
Exactly.
Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Goodbye. This was a lot of fun. I just love the idea of a hidden door to a crawl space is just takes it into another direction that I don't even like. I can't believe.
I bet that she had crazier nightmares up there in that heat that she doesn't even remember.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing I would go do with a group of friends, but never alone.
Yeah. Like, you mean like spend the night there?
Crawl up that crawl space. No, I wouldn't spend the night. No, I don't care how many people are in there. I wouldn't do that. I'll be outside waiting with the car running. No problem, guys.
I wouldn't be out there solo.
I would be out there solo in the car.
It would be really interesting.
With it in drive, my foot on the brake. You know, just all I got to do is like.
How much could we pay you to go stay at one night?
By myself?
In that room. Yes, by yourself.
But I already did it by myself.
I know, but now you're doing it for cash.
It would have to be...
Six figures?
It would have to be six figures. Because why? Like...
I mean, that's the thing. You would manifest it just by being it. That was my whole point with Rye's sleep paralysis up in the mountains there. I'm like, I'll manifest the fear just because I know that he was, you know, had this sleep apnea or whatever.
Well, yeah,
not sleep apnea.
Just because his CP, whatever mask, went on sideways.
Totally.
There was some horrible commercial I just saw about those masks getting some kind of bacteria. Have you seen that like infomercial about masks getting
CPAP
bacteria?
Masks or whatever they're called, yeah.
Getting bacteria in them and needing clean. I'm like, this just gets worse and worse, the whole CPAP.
It makes sense. You're just breathing all your shit into it. Yeah.
Not cleaning it. Anyway,
when I hit you up, you had wanted to keep your stories to a theme. We wanted to tell you to tell that, but you have an interesting one here that I want to hear these stories. You say you had a childhood obsession with driving.
Yes. Well, because we lived out in the country. So like
where?
Petaluma, which is Northern California.
That's where I have a friend that lived there.
You know, that's my shit, right?
Petaluma is?
That whole area.
Oh, really?
I don't know if we mentioned this, but like 2 years ago, we did vacation in Inverness.
Oh, yeah.
This summer, we went and stayed in Bolinas.
Oh, the best.
So Petaluma, I was staying in, I wrote on this video game at the beginning of the year, and they're based in Novato.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would go up to Novato, and my really good friend lives in San Rafael in Lagunitas, my boy T.O. Double. What's up, Double? And I would stay in Novato, and he would come and pick me up, and we would go into Petaluma because I had heard such great things about Petaluma. I didn't even, that part of the country is my Bolinas and Inverness and Point Reyes Station and Stinson Beach. That whole area is just, oh, it's like heaven.
It's amazing. I had no idea how we were living like fucking kings as children and we had no clue.
I bet.
It's just so beautiful. And we also, Petaluma now is very kind of fancy because of the tech boom and people moving out of the city and kind of up into nicer places. And, you know, when I was growing up, it was just farm community. Like Marin County, you know, in the 80s was like the place to be because that's where the super rich people were. And we were just like farms. But now it's like, but there's also these Victorian houses and there's, you know, all this stuff, whatever.
The locals in Petaluma, though, are still a little hardcore. Like we were going to bars and you get... My boy was like, you just got to be heads up because if you're not from there, Petalumans are very protective of like, because, you know, we were in like dive bars, you know, like we just like get our beers. And like at one point, some dude said something to us like,
Petalumans, I'm over here laughing. Petalumans.
What do you guys call them?
I don't think anyone calls them anything.
I was going to say.
But I like
Petalumaniacs. What's up tonight, guys?
Petalumania. Anyway, we got a couple dudes that like fronted us a little bit just to check us to be like, hey, are you supposed to be here?
Right.
And like I think we said the right thing and they were like totally cool with us. Just.
Do you remember the name of the bar?
No.
Andreessen's? Was it in town?
Yes. And it had a front door and a back door. Like you could come up the back, like it had like a double staircase or a one staircase going up to like, so it had like a patio, but you couldn't drink out on the patio, but it was like part of the staircase and then you go in and...
Hmm.
Guys, listen, man, I'm going to be honest with you. We're not Petalumans. We're wearing our Petalumania t-shirts.
Well, I'll tell you something, man.
We're just here for passing through.
But
man,
we're trying to have some fun. Well, because there's a bar. So it is like that. There's a lot of really rich kind of, you know, dairy farmer people there that are keep to yourself kind of people.
Yeah, farmers make good money.
Tons of money.
They work their fucking ass off, but they make money. You know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. So
and they don't go flaunting it.
No, not at all. In fact, they all kind of just wear like it's.
I've
like,
seen a few tractors had rims on.
Lowered.
Ow, lowered and bouncing.
Doubles as a toe.
No, it's all people with their like Wrangler jeans, belts, and then their button down, you know, cowboy shirts, mm-hmm. whatever. And everyone looked the same when I was growing up. And these bars, like, there's a bar called the Buckhorn that's on the way out of town that my dad said, you never go there. He goes, Woody and I went in there one time, his friend Woody, who's a fireman with him. He was like, this guy was staring at us up in the mirror. We put our beers down and we just walked out. Like, there's like, it was like, some kind of a biker. He didn't know what was going on. But anyway, yeah. So when I was growing up, we grew up 5 miles out of town. So like Petaluma proper there, but then the further out you drive toward Tamales or toward the beach, mm-hmm. Up, you know, where we are.
The Muir Woods.
Muir Wood. Well, that's down. That's south a little bit.
Trying to fit in.
I know. But we were basically just, it was just fields and dairy farms and stuff. So like we didn't get cable. We only had like 3 channels and you couldn't get pizza delivered
to
our house.
You had TV.
That's exactly right.
You had TV.
Rabbit ear TV. Yeah. We actually did have one of those things where you flicked it and then it would turn the antenna on the roof. Like it would click and click and click. So yeah, it was a little bit rustic. And so I resented it a lot because I was always like, I got to get into the city and find out what's happening. So one time my parents, and we like, when you grow up on, my Aunt Jean and Uncle Steve had a ranch next door. So we kind of grew up on their ranch. So like my Uncle Steve had this truck called Old Pete that was like a 30s, I think a Peterbilt truck. And he would turn it on when he was doing stuff like out in the field. And you could get in and drive it around because he just would put it in first gear and it would just kind of go around the
field. A
tractor
like a Peterbilt, like that big, like a rig?
No, it was a truck. It was maybe it wasn't Peterbilt, but it was like some kind of old truck brand.
That's my favorite line in the movie Cars. One of them, like Lightning McQueen's chasing after Mac because he can't find him. He's like, Mac. And he goes, I ain't a Mac. I'm a Peterbilt, moron. Yeah. And you're like, a Peterbilt?
Yeah.
I feel like this, I don't know if Peterbilt made trucks, but it was a really old truck with like the rounded, you know, like wheel wells and stuff.
Yeah.
And like a wooden bed. And so he would just turn it on and put it in first. And then all the kids, you could get in and out of it, walking alongside of it and drive it. So you could just drive it around for a while as much as you wanted and then get out. And it's the 70s. No one gave a shit if a kid got sucked underneath a truck as it moved around. So doing that as a kid, I was like, yeah, I want to drive all the time. It was like a weird obsession of mine. So one time when my parents went, the first time they went away on vacation and left us at home alone without a babysitter.
How many's us?
Just me and my older sister, Laura, who never wanted to do anything and was always like, we're going to get in trouble. Stop it. So I couldn't stop staring at my mom's Volvo that was sitting in the driveway as we were just
How
like
old are you?
12.
Okay.
I'd say.
Had you already been driving tractors and stuff like that? Did you have a familiarity with just driving
old Pete
in general?
The only old Pete, and then my cousin
ghost riding old Pete out there.
My ghost riding, and then my cousin Stevie had this game called Dead Body. So Stevie was like 6 years older than me, and anytime he had to drive us places, he would. And it was just all these 2-lane highways in and out of town, so we were just always going like 50 miles an hour up Bodega, and then he would just yell Dead Body and slump over and we would have to grab the wheel and drive.
I mean, Christ. That's a gag I do too. I don't make people grab the wheel. I just go stuff like, dude, you know when the other day we're doing, and then I fake like I pass out and lay on them and they freak the fuck. I do it all the time when I'm golfing now, like, and drive like into a bush or something.
Yes.
I do the one eye. He's got an Instagram video of it. I keep this one open nice and safe, but I open my mouth a little bit. And then I'll slowly off the road and get the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like, yeah. what? I'm all right, I'm all right. Like, you're sleeping over there. Like, nah.
Well, Stevie would go all the way over. He was not even, like, his head wasn't above the dashboard. And we would have to grab the wheel and steer correctly to get us home. Basically, he'd be like, and you have to do it. You have to watch that. So it was like his weird way of teaching us how to drive.
Oh, yeah? Weird, you think?
That's a little different.
But I was always like, I could do it. Like, if he did finally die in the car, I could get us home. I was sure of it. So when my parents were gone this time, I was like, I'm going to go drive that car down the street. And my sister's like, you can't. Stop it. Stop saying that. And so I finally just went out and
by yourself. She didn't come.
No way. She was so pissed. She's like, I'm gonna call mom. I'm like, I don't care, because we also lived so far out that, like,
she can do come home.
Yeah, they're not. And also, no cars went by our house, like one every 4 hours maybe, so I knew it would be okay to do. I mean, like, that I wouldn't, like, no traffic would be involved or anything like that. So I get into the Volvo, and we have a driveway that's at like a 20-degree angle or something, and just a little bit of a hill. So I have to back it out of our driveway, and then I start. And the whole time I'm going 3 miles an hour max. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it just.
Are you tall enough that you reach the pedals and everything? You have to, like, sit up on the front of the seat, or?
I had to pull the seat all the way up, and then I was really just hitting it with my pointed toe.
Just, you know, tapping it.
Just like. And then, yeah, and just really testing it. I finally, it takes me like 15 minutes to back out of the driveway. And my sister's watching me in the front window, like, with her arms crossed. And then I start driving down our street, Eastman Lane. And our next door neighbors, the Withingtons, were right next door. And then the Withingtons' grandma lived next door to them in a mobile home. Like, you know, they had mm-hmm. her right there. Well, I didn't think about the fact that, so I'm like just going like this down our street. in the Volvo, just like the slowest you could possibly go, and my heart's racing, and I was like, I love this, this is the best thing ever. And then I get past Nani's mobile home, and I realize I have to turn around, like I have to go back home at some
right,
point.
Yeah.
And it's taken me so long to get this far that I'm like, oh yeah, I better start going home now. And then I for some reason I could have turned left and like turned around in this normal driveway. But instead, I turned right into like a 45-degree angle driveway, if not more. Like basically a hill going straight down.
Oh, man.
So I have to do like a 19-point turn to get back going the other direction. But on this hill where at a certain point I had to use the emergency brake.
No.
Yes. And it was crazy. Meanwhile, Nani is watching me out her front window the entire time. She saw me do the whole thing. She saw me drive by really slow, and she saw me get stuck in the driveway and then get
what else
back
is
out.
Nani doing but watching the right. street.
Exactly. And watching
Punch! Punch! Give it all you got! Get out of here, Karen! Get out, you can replace the mailbox. Back it up!
It was so stupid, but that was also kind of my first.
Did you get it back in there safely?
Got it back in, and then was just kind of like, had that thing of like, I just don't.
Knifed your sister.
Yeah.
Well, I want to
know if she ratted you out.
She didn't, but Nani told my. I mean.
I had my money on Nani, wouldn't.
Oh, maybe she.
Bitch.
Maybe she didn't. No. She was the greatest.
No, she wasn't, Karen.
She told somebody. Maybe Andy. She told the
it
son and
back,
the family,
huh?
But it did get back. But. I could tell my dad thought it was funny that I did it, because I basically drove a total of like 100 yards. It wasn't crazy. But yeah, I just had that kind of thing. I just wanted to be in a car, and I wanted to not be sitting. All we did was like stand out in the middle of fields all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't nowhere to go, nothing to do. So that was kind of the beginning of it.
Of what, your car obsession?
Of my car obsession, and kind of, and just that thing of I wanted to just do things.
Yeah.
I didn't care. Like, my sister never wanted to do anything, and it made me want to do everything and try everything. So then I guess that, oh shit, that I think it's the white truck. So we 1 year went to. Or every year we would go to the Russian River for vacation in the summer.
Fucking Russian River.
The river, it's the best, right?
You stop talking about the shit out of Healdsburg.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's my dream world up there.
It's the best. And back then it was really, it was like the rustic version of it. Now mm-hmm. it's kind of like the vineyardy kind of like gastropub-y version of it.
Yeah. But that, I haven't been to Russian River. I've just, every time I look to like go on vacation up there, I look at different parts that we haven't been to. And I always look at Russian River because there are houses that are like on the river and you can go down and you can canoe. And I just never pull the trigger because I want to be close to like, you know, like to town and stuff like that.
You drive up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
7-hour drive. Both times. We have to drive both to, the first time when we went to Inverness, we went through Fairfax and then drove through the state park or whatever to get to Inverness through mm-hmm. Point Reyes Station. And the second time, we took the Muir Woods through to get over to Stinson Beach that goes up to Bolinas. And both times, Reed threw up because of the car sickness, because it's like 10 miles through that, like,
it's all this. It's all that.
Yeah.
That's why both my sister and I don't eat seafood. Because my parents would always take family, friends, drive them out to Tamales, and we'd go to...
Go get oysters?
Yes. And in Tamales, or the Middle Turok, I can't remember what... The place where we would go, this restaurant, is actually featured in The Birds. There's the part where...
The original Hitchcock?
Yes. Because that was all filmed out in, like, basically West Marin and... Mm-hmm. near where we were, and we would drive out, and it would just be me and my sister sitting in the back seat, and it would just be windy roads, and you'd end up in basically low tide right on this bay at low tide, and then walk into like a very fresh seafood store, so there'd just be like lobsters and everything right on ice. Mm-hmm. So they would go in and buy this stuff either to bring back to the house, or we'd go into the restaurant, everyone would be eating clam chowder and shrimp cocktail and stuff. And it was, the second we got out of the car, we started throwing up, and then that just right. kind of like, you we would eat that, sourdough yeah. bread and right, drink 7-Up for the rest of the time.
Yeah,
so we now in our minds it's just permanently seafood is being car sick. It's right. the same exact thing. So we can't really do it. No, but the story I was going to tell you was, so we were up in Russian River for vacation. And for some reason, this trip, my mom let my sister and I each bring two friends.
Damn,
that's a lot of kids. That's, I know. Six kids.
But we were older. We were in high school. So I think I was like 14 and my sister was 16.
And did you all... cross-pollinate, or did you just keep your own shit?
Well, we cross-pollinated later in the day.
I don't even know what you mean.
Like, would the girls be friends and play games and stuff together?
Like, was it these three do their own thing while you three do your thing, or did you all know each other? 2 years isn't that much of a difference.
No. Yeah. What kind of car are you guys driving up there?
Well, we... So my sister
Karen drove her own car.
Yeah, really. My parents got me my own 12-year-old car. My parents drove. My sister didn't get her license until she was 18, which of course drove me insane. So we had my dad's white 1970, I think it was a Ford truck, mm-hmm. and then my mom's Volvo, and then Andy Withington, our next door neighbor, whose grandma saw me driving, he came up and visited us with his friend Donnie. And because he liked one of the girls that my sister brought up. So it was just kind of like, and my parents went to this party for the day. And they were like, you guys don't go anywhere. But if you're going to go anywhere, Andy drives dad's truck. Like, no, okay. Nobody else drives the truck but Andy. Because he, you know, he had a
Karen?
Lot. Karen? that means you, Karen. This rules because of you, Karen.
He had the most experience. So we.
But he had a license, right?
Yes. Okay, yeah. So he's the same age as my sister. So
you might have more experience.
I had the will. Yeah. I had the passion. So we decide, they come up and we're all hanging out. We're kind of bored. So we all decide we're going to go to Armstrong Grove, which is the Redwood Park that's right there, which is another crazy thing about up there is like there's full on Redwood Groves that you can go to and walk through that are absolutely gorgeous.
Amazing.
So crazy.
And the sun will still come down through, but you're like cold and it's, the trees are like dwarf you.
There's low fog. Like the trees are so high that there's actually fog in the middle, not to the top of the trees. Like it's crazy and so beautiful. we went there, so we, and somebody had wine coolers. So there was a wine cooler element.
Wine coolers in wine country.
Right. Nami.
So we get to Armstrong Grove, and somebody had, we had a boombox, and we were walking around with it at this gorgeous national park. We're walking around playing like Howard Jones, like assholes. And at one point, somebody decides, like, we're just kind of hanging out, and it was boring. And then somebody sees on a sign that there's a lagoon. And so Andy, I think it was Andy's idea, and he's like, let's drive to the lagoon. So he's like, I'm going to drive my car. And Don, his friend Donnie told Donnie, you drive the truck. Explicitly what my father said not to do.
Yeah.
And so they have, Andy has this little Porsche. And so my sister and her friend Christine are in the Porsche with Andy. And Donnie is driving the truck. And my sister's other friend Maureen is in the cab with Donnie. And then my friend Jennifer Gehring is in the cab with him. And then my second friend Holly Gardner and I were in the back of the, in the bed. In the bed of the truck. And so we're driving up to this lagoon. We didn't know how far it was or anything. So it's just this.
Hey, where's your brother?
What's that?
Oh, no. Sorry. Go ahead. I don't know what I was thinking. You had a brother.
Oh, no.
No.
My cousin Stevie?
I just saw some other dude there. I don't know why.
No, no. So we start driving, and it's a really long drive, it turns out. Like, we didn't realize this park could even be this big. And at one point, we ended up going up this, like, switchbacky, mountainy road. It was crazy, and it just kept going on and on. So finally, after that hilly part, we came to this kind of middle section, and we were driving through a campground. And I think me and Holly started yelling stuff at people, or we were like, it was like, you know, summer 86 or whatever, yeah. Some stupid shit that we were yelling. And then we hear this really loud bang, and the truck, Donnie ran the truck into the back of Andy's Porsche.
Oh.
And what had happened was the brakes went out in the truck. So he smashes into Andy's Porsche. Andy's Porsche like kind of flies forward. And then he's now driving a truck that has no brakes, and we're now going down on the incline.
And she wants you. Yeah, she wants you. No one.
No, no one.
No one ever.
Oh, my God, I can't stop.
Is to blame. Burr, burr,
burr. So Donnie tries to stop the truck from going down this hill by driving against a dirt, like a little bit of a wall. There's like a dirt wall on the left side of the road.
How many people total in there? Three, including him?
Your
two friends in the cab?
There's three in the cab, and then me and Holly in the back.
Okay.
So he tries to drive it kind of into the side, the dirt hill, wall on the side. And it ends up catching the wheel, and he flips the truck.
What?
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
And me and Holly go flying out of the back of this truck. So I remember time went really slow, and I thought to myself, you are wearing a skirt, and when you land, your skirt is going to fly up, and your underwear is going to show, so you have to stand up immediately.
That's the thought that went through your head.
That was,
like, your neck could have snapped in a second after that, and that would have honestly been your last thought you were worried about.
I was like, the second you feel pavement, stand up. And so that's what I did. Like, I don't know how, and I would love to see a video of this, but basically, I hit the ground and stood immediately and pulled my skirt down.
One of the cameras like, that girl must be a gym. You see that? She should have stuck that landing.
And I don't remember at all. I don't remember hitting the ground. I just know that the second I knew I was down, I got back up. And then I turned around, and the truck is on its side, and it's just sliding down the hill. And everybody in the truck cab is smashed down on the bottom.
God.
And I start screaming at the top of my lungs. And all of a sudden, this woman who is so Northern California, she was like a total like fleece vest, this big lady with a big gray braid.
A coffee cup in her hand.
Yes, exactly. Turquoise jewelry comes running out of somewhere.
Oh, my turquoise.
I got to take care of business.
They need help.
Yeah. And she grabs me and shoves my head under her chest so I stop screaming. Because I was like screaming. I thought they were all dead.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it looked like. And I'm just crying into this.
She's like, honey,
shoulders.
Calm down. Your underwear show.
You don't want to be drawing attention to yourself right now. Here's the thing. My sister had this friend, Maureen Tom, the one that was in the middle, was like, she was one of those 35-year-old Philadelphia lawyer type girls where it's from when she was like 15 years old. She was like insanely mature and cool. And she is the first one out of the cab. Like, I'm screaming. I'm holding this lady that I don't know. And I hear, Karen, we're fine. And I turn around. Maureen is just pushing herself out of the driver's side window. Like, Karen, we're fine. Stop screaming. And, like, yelling at me. And then
coming out of the thing.
Coming out. She's handling business. Donnie gets out. Jennifer, apparently when they flipped down, Jennifer had her arm out the window. And the way it turned, her head went out the window.
And
Maureen grabbed her head and pulled it in so that when they hit, her head wasn't out the window. So they all get out of the cab. Essentially, we're like, we know we're dead. We're just dead.
Can we just go back to the woman that grabbed you, by the way?
Yes.
She's almost like grabbing you like, you're going to have to let them go.
I don't want you to see
what
this
was
tragedy.
She doing?
Don't look at this tragedy. They're all dead for sure.
She made it more dramatic than
sure,
you.
Honey.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no way they're living. They're surviving that.
Don't look at them.
Crying in a fleece vest, girl. They're all dead.
I think she just wanted me to shut the fuck up, really.
She's like, listen, I'm trying to enjoy the moment here.
Yes, we're here in the Redwoods. We don't need this bullshit from you.
Bad enough with your people with a boombox earlier.
Wanted to see if y'all had some insurance for the Porsche damage.
It was my parents were so angry on so many levels. I don't think my dad talked to us for like a week after that, because it was like exactly what he said not to do is what we did.
How did you get the thing? They had to bring in like a crane truck, right?
Yeah. Well,
like a winch
crane truck.
Yeah. Like
my son's in the car as a truck.
the tow truck with the thing on the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to get that. And it was his truck was totaled. It was like, it wasn't that nice anyway, but it was basically like, there's no coming back from this.
I mean,
Jesus.
What do you do as a parent? Like, fucking, you can't disown them, but you're like, what? Are you dumb as shit?
Yes.
Are you fucking dumb as ever?
Exactly. And all I know is my mom had that thing of, she was looking at us like, we should all be dead.
And they got their kids away. I just remember, like, when I went on vacation with friends, I was kind of like the nightmare kid. Like, I would do shit like burn the tops of my feet, and then we're in the kitchen. Like, they used to tell me, like, put sunblock on the top of your feet. And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm all right. Because we would vacation at a lake, and they used to vacation, like, at a beach where the sun is, like, 10 times stronger. And I burnt the shit out of the tops of my feet. So then I'm in the kitchen, which is a rental house, linoleum floor, and they have, like a bucket of ice water for me to soak my feet in, but it would get so cold, I would bring my feet up onto the edges of the bucket, and then, of course, you got to put one foot in. Yeah. I flipped the whole thing. Now I got water soaked everywhere. I'm the nightmare. Now you guys, they have to have these kids away, and they're probably looking at these kids like, dumb fucking shits.
My mother, one of the reasons my mom was mad is she actually had that
one
real,
of them,
like,
one reason.
One. But my dad was the one that was livid of, like, you disobeyed, and you wrecked my truck, and this, and that.
I feel like if I was your dad, I would show up, and I would fucking immediately hit one of them. I mean, I don't know if I would, but you'd just be like, how fucking, what did he do?
Well, my mom, I think that's what he would, my mom was the one that was in charge, and she was the one that was like, they could have all been killed. Like, they very easily could have all been killed. And the fact that Holly and I weren't more hurt than we were not hurt. That's the weirdest part. So, like, we walked away from this thing fine. So she was like, your father wants to be more mad, but I just keep telling him, like, they could be dead. My mom was checking our eyes because she was a nurse. She came into the bedroom all night and just would be wake you up and then flick light in your eyes to make sure that Holly and I didn't have concussions. But the main reason she was mad at me was my friend Holly's mom was this woman who was like first generation German. She was so like, you know, proper and really kind of like strict and by the book and really clean and exacting. And she was a widow. So she was very like, you know,
protective.
Holly, yes. She goes, you made it so that I had to call Ursula Gardner and tell her what happened to her daughter.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll tell you who else called Ursula. Ursula! Come here, girl.
Don't ask that.
Get your clean, precise.
So precise.
You know what else, though? I bet there was an element of your dad. I know for me, like, I drive, my car is kind of a piece of junk, but I kind of love it. You know what I mean? I kind of love what it is. But once you have kids, you have to, like, you can't have like an unsafe vehicle. Mine's a little unsafe in certain aspects, and I just like to roll the dice. But your dad was probably fucking pissed, like, because a little of it's on him. Like, what was up with the brakes, dude?
Exactly right. Yeah.
You're letting these kids take out this car, so he's probably pissed. It's my fucking brakes went. I just want to have a fucking truck. It's my truck. Yes. They fucking took my truck.
Yeah.
Well, and also that was part of the reason I think he was like, it was like, don't drive the truck, but if you drive the truck, only Andy can drive the truck and whatever. He thought he was mitigating what really was just like a truck that should not have been driven at all, you know, because it was like his fixer-upper, basically.
Also, if he hadn't hit that bank for the car to tip over, you guys would have fucking plummeted into the Russian River or
yes,
something.
Yes, exactly right.
In the lagoon.
No, everything about it, they were like, as angry as they wanted to be, it was this weird miracle thing. He was this high school kid, and he did this move that basically, although it flipped the truck and flipped us out onto the ground, it was best case scenario for what could have happened. We were headed downhill. Yeah. Toward the lagoon.
He's like Denzel Washington from Flight.
That's right.
He's flighted that down thing. With his shit.
He really flighted that thing.
Wow.
But really the point is that I think I have superpowers because I...
You must.
I
stuck the landing.
I can't believe I stuck that landing so hard. I was down and I was up in 1 second.
I love Karen Kilgariff's stories because we're just like, oh, they're going to fucking have this cool thing at the lagoon and maybe someone brings booze and someone hooks up. And like, nah, fucking the truck flies out.
Brakes are out. It's a Dukes of Hazzard episode, yeah. For Christ's sake.
Exactly right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How did you guys even get, I mean, there's no cell phones back then. What did you guys have to call AAA? And no, then when did your parents find out?
Park Ranger. They had to get the park rangers involved. And then somebody had to call. It was like, it ended up being Andy had to call my dad. We knew where the party was were at. Because it was like a lot of people would go up there for the summer.
That's another thing. He's fucking like, I get 1 week off a year.
Yeah, that's it.
For real.
Yeah, lobsters.
Yeah. He still talks about us wrecking that truck. Like, he's still, if you say white Ford truck in front of my dad, he twitches
a little.
Just as disgusted today as he was 30 years ago. Ah, you. Ugh. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Tell us about this right here.
Oh, so Jennifer Garingo, who I mentioned before, she was the one in the bottom of the pile in the truck cab. She was like,
she's the one first out or no? She's last out.
She was last out.
Okay.
And she was younger than me, and she was the daughter, family, friends, the Gearings. So our parents were like, went on every vacation together, and we would go to, we would go visit them. They lived in Ukiah, which is like 4 hours up. And then we would all go to Blue Lake, every summer for vacation.
What was the connection with the families?
Connie Gearing was a nurse, and my mom was a nurse, and my Aunt Jean was a nurse, and my Aunt Jean worked with Connie, and then they all met somewhere, and they all, like, it was like they were all best friends. And so then it would be like, come visit us. And they had this big, gorgeous Victorian house in Ukiah and they were just kind of like party people. My parents were like those 60s cocktailers, mm-hmm. where they really partied. They had friends and they partied with them on the weekends. So when we'd go up there, Jennifer was basically their oops baby. They had three older kids that were like all college or like married and moved out. And Jennifer was like the youngest, and she was a year younger than me. So we were just immediately like forced friends, mm-hmm. because we were the only ones there. Well, my sister was, but she would always have a friend with her. But she was like my built-in friend, and she's one of my favorite people. She's hilarious and goofy, and just like I just spent my entire childhood playing board games with her on some kind of like a porch near a body of water in the summer. And she would do stuff like when we got older, like we went to camp together, and when I was in high school, there was a trip between junior and senior year. They offered this trip. And it was called like Moscow, Poland, and the West or something like that. And it was a 2-week trip, I think, or maybe three. And we went to Russia, we went to Poland, we went to Amsterdam, we went, like, it was this whole crazy trip. Yeah. And it was before the wall fell. It was 1987. So we saw old, like, Russia, like, Soviet Union style. And we all had our parents sign you're allowed to drink papers, because over there the age was, I don't know what the age was, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
You're required by the government to drink. So we were like, it was just this kind of like insane party, but we were in Russia. And like one time we found some bar because we saw the sign and we knew, like, we went down these stairs and inside it looked like an old vodka commercial. Like everything was gray. It was all men that were like middle-aged or older, just everyone sitting at the bar. And we walked in and Jennifer walked up, like she was like a little bit like funny ditzy. She walked in and she's like, okay, can I get a vodka Collins? And I'm just like, sit down. It's like I somehow ordered like four vodkas in Russian or whatever. But like, you know, she was that girl that would be like, I'm going to get a mixed drink in this Russian bar.
Does that have wine coolers?
Yeah, exactly. So we went out one night and drank as much as we could. We actually got lost on the Russian subway one time, which is gorgeous. It looks like a museum.
Yeah.
And we had no idea where we were. And these Russian soldiers essentially like got us back to our hotel. I don't know how it happened. But
were they KGB?
it could have been a young Putin.
You can tell me, were they KGB?
Pooty poot.
Yeah.
But basically, we had to get up one day at being really, really hungover and go to the Kremlin as a part of the tour and visit Lenin's tomb. And I don't know if it's still this way now, but back then it was like full on, you know, you're inside the Kremlin, which you like rarely happened. They had all this like special paperwork or whatever. And you waited in this line and it had to be dead silent and you had to face forward and you like basically in dead silence had to go walk through this thing and walk around what was essentially like a museum of Lenin. And then you walked into his embalmed body that's in a glass box.
What?
And you see, yeah. Lenin's tomb is...
You see his face and stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They had it set up so that you basically walk around. I think it's like they encased him in wax or they, you know, whatever they did.
They preserved him.
And the room was black and it was like the lighting was so that you were only looking at this basically glass coffin. It's super intense and there were soldiers with huge, you know, machine guns all the way down. Well, Jennifer is she's still drunk from the night before. She was really skinny and she was, you know, trying to keep up with all of our drinking. We're all hungover, but she was like legless. And so as we're standing in line, she's like slumping against me. And I'm like, seriously, you have to get it together. I don't know what to tell you, but you have to get it together. And we were like kind of like holding her up, but trying to act like we weren't. And we basically carried her through Lenin's tomb. And we would every once in a while catch the eye of a soldier. I'd just be like, sorry. Like, because she was like, it's so disrespectful, and to the point where they warned us, like, you cannot speak, like, do not mess around. This is no joke.
She's like, I'm here to see John Lennon and Gremlins too.
It was one of the scariest things, just because I was like, we're going to get arrested and thrown in some kind of an inner Kremlin jail.
Anytime you're outside this country, it's who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. I saw White Knights, dude.
White Knights?
We're going to have to dance our way out of this place.
How many pirouettes can you do?
that was crazy.
Wait, how long was that actual trip?
It was like 3 weeks, I believe.
Damn.
Yeah, so it was like 10 days in Soviet Russia, and then we went to East Germany and then West Germany, and we went to Poland for a while. We went to Auschwitz one day on this bus trip. We did a tour of Auschwitz that was like, it was like a bus full of kids because it was our school and then another school combined, and we took this tour and got back on the bus. It was dead silent for the rest until we got to the hotel where we were staying in like the next city. I've never seen anything like that. It was incredible.
What was Lenin's deal?
He was just like a really important leader. I have no fucking clue.
But I mean, like, if he was, apparently he would have been his tomb would be gone if he's in the United States. Now, like, he was a communist. None of us, you guys are just going to leave me out here on this one?
I mean, I wish I could.
I think it's weird that they have a tomb for that guy, because I don't think I've ever heard a good thing about the guy.
Well, but he's the one that basically brought, I think, and I should know, and I have truly no idea.
Well,
this is all
busy holding up your friend. You know, you probably missed that. They probably told you.
They're just checking out his nose hairs. I'm like, you think they could have clipped them?
They still grow after you die.
I think he's the one that brought communism, like really into the fore.
He's responsible for the shift.
Perhaps.
The red shift.
I think so. Right. He's the guy that was bald with the mustache.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all I can tell you.
Right.
I wasn't paying attention almost
no,
the whole
I know.
Time.
I don't, you know, it's just, you know, I was a big Mussolini fan out of any, you know what I mean?
Of all the people you had to choose
yeah,
from?
Yeah, of all
the
dictators. And Gaddafi. I thought Gaddafi was great. Very
Gaddafi
colorful.
Was hilarious.
He was great, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was really good.
Great. Can we hear these two?
Oh, yeah. you can. Will you edit these parts? Thank you.
No.
Well, this one is... So, when I worked on Ellen, I all of a sudden had all this money that I'd never...
Here we go.
Never had. it was my time of... I had a lot of... I only worked constantly, but I had all this money, and... So my friend was like, you need to hire a maid to clean your house for you because you'll just you have the money to do it. Just do it. But I was raised to believe you're supposed to do that yourself. And that's wrong.
So we did in Sacramento.
We all did our own dishes.
Yeah,
that's right.
And the ghost dishes. So it was just uncomfortable to me to have a person that did that. But it was my friend's, the woman that cleaned my friend's house. She's like, she's great. You know, call her and she'll come and do it. So I just had weird, you know, guilt about it or whatever. But she was great and she, you know, was so nice. The difference was amazing of having a clean house and not having to do it myself. Until one day I...
There's a difference between cleaning your house and having a clean house.
And having a clean house.
Like dusting and mopping shit that you're like, no.
Also, the worst is when you start to clean your house yourself and then you start to see how filthy it is, where it's like, well, you can, you know, mop and dust and do the thing, but like, I'll start washing a wall. You know what I mean? Yeah, where you're like, what are these weird flicks? And I'll just get into, it's all or nothing with me. It's either like, it's really gross or then I'm obsessively like getting rid of every single mark and everything and just drive me crazy.
Heating up a spatula and just scraping it all. Like, oh my God.
Where'd this grease
these
come
ketchup
from?
Splats? I don't know what the fuck these are.
What is this?
The fuck is this? So one day I was getting the, I'm big into Triscuits and cheese as a holdover
Girl,
snack.
Have
right?
you had the rosemary and olive oil new Triscuits?
No, I haven't.
Oh, are you serious? Have you?
Uh-uh.
I mean, they've been around for a couple of years, but the rosemary olive oil Triscuits, they're unbelievable. I mean, the Triscuit, I think, is the greatest cracker ever made.
I do, too.
No question.
Yeah.
And you throw a little cheese. A snack in my house, when you came home, that's what you do. You grab some, my mother would buy like sharp cheddar cheese.
Hell
we thought
yes.
we were fucking, cut, right? we were living large.
That's right.
And then, boom. Triscuits were never around. It was either saltines or Ritz. It wasn't until I was like 14 that Triscuits showed up and we were like, oh shit, these are the jam. Wheat Thins were kind of like, those were dope, but Triscuits blew everything away.
We were an only Triscuit family. So we had Ritz was like, I would be like, oh, I'm at someone's house, I don't know. Like Ritz made me feel uncomfortable. And they were too like buttery.
Listen, exactly. Stop they're judging heavy. Me. That's what I was given.
Okay.
Put a little peanut butter and jelly on it, and you had like eight of them. Like you'd be like 8 or 10 on a Saturday morning. That would be like what we had.
Yes. Well, that's a classic.
Sorry, you guys are rolling in it.
No, I mean,
got Ellen money.
Triscuits for days.
I would take Triscuits just to throw them away. Yeah, I would just buy them and I'd throw them out. And I'd be like, waste. Check this shit out.
Look at this.
Pinky ring. Well, we were just at Triscuits household and Wheatsworth. My mom liked Wheatsworth.
What's Wheatsworth?
Yeah, I don't know that.
They were
either.
Kind of a phony, like almost like a like you were picking a healthy kind of cracker, but gotcha. They just had a bunch of wheat in them. But anyway, so I basically went back to all my latchkey habits. So like I would sometimes come home from work and just have Triscuits cheese and like Diet Coke and then go to sleep.
Yeah.
So one day I pulled out that block of cheese, extra sharp Tillamook, and I see teeth marks in it. And I'm like, I just am staring at it, and I put it together that the only person it could be is this maid. Because who else?
That ghost is
that's aggressive.
That ghost
shit.
Might have fucking finally caught all deep. Like, I need a snack, man. It's been a while to catch up to her. Must have scared the shit out of her.
Get some protein before I do some more hugging.
The cleaning ladies just bit it. Didn't decide to cut it. Bit it.
Bit it, but I was like, this assumption is very problematic.
It's a bold assumption.
So I'm looking at it, and it's like, there's no, it's undeniable. Teeth marks and cheese is the clearest, I think, second only to like the specific dentist wax.
Yeah.
It is clear as a bell. I could see every twisted tooth and every single thing. I was just like, holy shit. So I call my friend Karen Anderson, who's also a stand-up comic. She's hilarious. And I was like, hey, I think, I can't remember her name, even Mary, whatever. I think Mary's biting the cheese. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, look, I just pulled out like this cheese and there's a bite mark in it. Like she's bitten into the, which would feel great. You know what I mean? If you just took God, a block
yeah.
of
yeah,
cheese and bit straight
in
into
teeth.
It, it'd feel great.
Yeah, it would.
And I'm thinking, I would do something like that. I don't like, not super judging her, but just fucking cut it off.
Yeah.
Like make it so that
cut
I never
it.
Think
right.
about it again.
Don't even know it's there. Gone.
It's almost like she got there and then she's like, here's the thing I love to do. And then I'm going to take care of that later. And then she just forgot to cut the thing off and make it like a clean break.
See, I think she was looking at like, how disgusting is her house? This is how you keep your house? Well, keep it like this. And just took a bite of your cheese.
That's
her
artistic
face.
Signature.
It could be. Yeah. Here's what you seem like to me.
Mm-hmm.
This disgusting. So I call Karen and I'm like, I think she's biting the cheese. And she's like, that's ridiculous. I've known this woman for 10 years. And I'm like, well, do me a favor. Go check your cheese. And she goes, fine. Hold on. And then she comes back. She goes, there's teeth marks in my
No throat. Fucking way. Who is this psychopath?
I'll tell you who she is. She's an extra sharp cheddar lover. That's what the fuck she is.
I mean, it is good. I can't blame her.
That's
at
the
all.
Craziest, weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Yes. So I was like, well, I'm going to let
you. Did you guys sample that? Did you match your teeth up and everything? You confront her together.
We had molds.
Front.
Yeah, build we had molds like, made, and then we had a whole skull made around it. And we're like, this is, do you recognize yourself?
Biting your cheese. Did you both continue to employ her?
I stopped only because I already didn't like it. Like it, I already it felt like too much to me.
And she got into a Jello mold, and I was like, "Fuck that!" You know what I mean?
Just forget it.
Did you ever confront her?
I told Karen she had to confront her because it was
her lady.
Her original.
Yeah.
And also, I was like, "And you'll actually be better at getting an answer." But she, I think she said something about it. I think she tried to mention it in passing, and the woman just blatantly didn't like straight up denied it entirely.
I'm gonna be straight up. I would not confront that woman alone. a random cheese biter will like
neck.
Yeah, she'll just come at you. Like you found out something dark about her.
Yes.
That she doesn't want anyone to know about, and then she's like, who knows what else she was doing?
I
in your
bite
house.
Everybody's cheese.
What are the other things that she was doing that aren't markable?
That you didn't find
going through
right.
your panties and shit,
right? Toothbrush doing yep. shit to your toothbrushes. Yeah, who knows?
But yeah, I mean, because I already was like, I would hate a person that I would have to be a maid for. That's, I think, isn't that the natural relationship of maids and people who pay maids?
Yeah,
is a little bit of resentment mm-hmm. and hatred.
I mean, I don't know, but I could see it for sure.
Yeah, me too. So
it's just a weird. Deep-rooted thing.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
But then it also made me realize, like, I want to do that. Like, how come I don't... It's
Bite
my cheese.
Go to your
friend. Oh, with yeah. your own
like,
cheese.
I never even thought of all the ways that I've lived. I could have done that years ago and loved it, and I never, ever thought to do it.
Yeah.
I was a little jealous of her, I think.
She's badass.
Yeah, she
Who knows
clearly
what she's
is.
Getting into.
I mean, that is definitely a statement.
She probably saw you throwing out the Triscuits, and you're like, look at this fucking bitch.
She doesn't appreciate anything.
Do you have time for this one right here?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That one there?
This just happened. And we talked about it the next night. So we were just in Houston and Dallas for live shows of My Favorite Murder, which is the most fun.
Were you there during the World Series?
No.
Okay.
No. Like 2 weeks after, I think.
Oh, okay.
Enough so that we could reference it and just be like, I hear there's some Astros here tonight, which there weren't. But I just told everybody that.
Oh my God, is he coming?
But so we do meet and greets afterwards. So like 100 people pay extra to come and take a picture and like hang out for 30 seconds or something like that. And it's always...
That's all the time I have for you. Time!
Moving on. Go ahead and get it out of somebody else's.
Jeremy, get my Triscuits.
Time! Okay, moving on.
I'm really friendly, and then when the clock goes off, I just turn and bite my cheese.
Just bite it, the block.
Completely stop looking in their eye. No, it's very fun, and the first time we did it, we realized we were really scared because we were like, who knows who these people are going to be and what we're going to, we don't know what to do.
About to meet a bunch of strangers.
And
you know what my favorite murder is? This one, bitch.
Right? We've definitely run scenarios for that. Yeah. For sure. They're all lovely. It's like 98% women, and they couldn't be lovelier. Most of them are hilariously funny. They all have great stories. They'll run up. One girl just took the picture, and then she goes, "My dad killed his business partner and got away with it. Bye!" And just ran away.
What the fuck?
Just everyone has a crazy story. My mom dated Ted Bundy. Just crazy true crime stories. Amazing. And we get like stand there and they tell us for 20 seconds and then, you know, then the next person goes. It's really fun. And anyway, so
I got 6 bodies in my trunk right now. I'm just going to take 15. I just want to tell y'all, love y'all, love what you do. See y'all next week.
We're like, you too. Okay, next. Don't want to get involved. So this lady is there and she's super lovely and gave us presents and was totally seemed like a high class Houston, you know, not housewife, but, you know, like
socialite.
Yes, exactly. Nice clothes, nails, whatever. And so you get into this rhythm and the people see it as you go where you're like the first 15 to 20 seconds, you're kind of chatting and then you take the picture and then, you know, you wrap it up and then they walk away and get a post or whatever so that we can fit all the people in, you know, whatever. So we're kind of at the chatting part. And so we're settling into taking the picture. And right as it like, you know, like we're quieting down, we're like, I know that's amazing. Me too. Anyway. And then we both turn to face forward, or all three of us turn to face forward to get the picture taken. And right as that happens, the woman goes, "My sister's dying."
What?
And Georgia, exactly that, Georgia starts laughing.
Oh, yeah.
So then we have to be quiet for like 6 seconds because the lady's like, you know, we have to wait.
Let's hold the dying laughter. I'm just going to snap a few real quick here. Got about 20 seconds left, guys.
Please don't laugh out loud during the picture. So the photographer takes the picture, and then because we have had people tell us heavy shit, and we have, you know, basically my mom was a psychiatric nurse, so I just kind of do an impression of my mom where I square off with them and I'm like, what happened? And I let them, you know, we tell them and we're like, thank you for telling us that. And it's important to us and, you know, you mean a lot to us or whatever. So I turn, Georgia's laughing and I'm like, Georgia. Like, and she's like, I'm sorry, I just is so like, she didn't know what to do. So I square off with her and I'm like, what's happening with your sister? And she goes, oh, she is so jealous that she can't be here.
Oh my
she went, oh she my was God. dying that she couldn't be at the show. And we both just dropped and like bent at the waist of like, oh my God. Because Georgia not only was horrified thinking that that's what you know, what was being served up, but that she laughed out loud at the woman after she said it. So she was going to have to figure out some apology of like, oh, it just made me nervous or whatever. And instead it was just the wording was wrong.
Love it. Or that her 30 seconds was up.
Right.
Just her 30 seconds. Like, this is dying. I would have told you the rest, but you know, this woman's flashing over here with the...
Well, we're there, and this has been a lot of fun.
You're the best.
You are. Oh, you're fantastic.
You guys, it's so
you're
the best. Fun.
Thank you so much for
coming
back
anything.
On.
What did we do?
Yeah, we just sat here and listened to you and had a good time.
Well, I hope that was what you needed.
Oh, this
it was
fantastic.
Just what we needed.
Right.
Will you, one more time, your whatever, social media, your tour, your podcast, websites, whatever.
Let's see. If you want to see My Favorite Murder on tour, go to myfavoritemurder.com/live. I think that'll say what cities are coming up and if there's tickets. And then I'm at Karen Kilgariff on Twitter. And there's also My Fave Murder at Twitter, which is the podcast Twitter handle. And I think that's it.
Yeah, and if you're not listening to the podcast, go check it out because it's fantastic. You guys are great. And if you can see it live, you know, if you can get a ticket, I don't know if it's worth the meet and greet, to be honest with you guys. But
if anybody's got dying relatives want to dump it on them, feel free.
It's fun to share.
Always, always. And thank you so much, jlarson.com. JLarsonComedy.com, JLarsonComedy on all social media.
Wow, RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.